I want you to see Jesus today. We're going to talk about Jesus, if you're okay with that. Because there are a lot of opinions and ideas and thoughts out there about who Jesus was, right? Some believe that he was just a great teacher. Some believe he was a radical rabbi. Some believe he's just some mystic. Some believe have equated him to Santa Claus. Who is Jesus? Some say that he is Lord. Some say, as we just sang about, that there is no other name but the name of Jesus. I mean, there are so many opinions and ideas out there about who Jesus is. Jesus was even concerned about that in his time here on earth. In fact, in Matthew chapter 16, one day he asked his disciples, hey, who do people say that I am, right? Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say you're just some prophet there were so many opinions about who Jesus, even in a room this size. And those of you that are dialed in online or maybe sitting in overflow today, listen, we have so many ideas and opinions about who Jesus is. So I just want to ask you, who do you say Jesus is? How would you finish this sentence? Jesus, you are. Oh man. Love that. I heard a few of you. That's awesome. Who are you? Jesus, you are. Well, in the book of John chapter 14, and we're going to set out today on a journey discovering who Jesus is. But in John chapter 14, Jesus makes a statement about who he is. He's listening to what other people are saying, but he gives a declaration. You know, Jesus sometimes did things and said things that got him in trouble. I love that first song that we sang today on so many different levels, but I love the ideology in that song and the phrasing in that song that says, tear down tradition, tear down my religion. You know, Jesus was all about that when he was here on earth, was he not? And that's what oftentimes got him in trouble. He didn't fit the mold of rabbis during his day and time. He didn't look like, or he wasn't what the people were envisioning that the long-awaited promised Messiah would be. They were expecting some ruler and conqueror, right? They weren't expecting this from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? That's what they thought about him, right? And we know that throughout his time here on earth that Jesus oftentimes did things that bucked the religious system, right? It went against tradition. We saw that Jesus oftentimes responded to people differently than the way other religious people responded to people. You know what I'm saying? Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? The priest and Levite passed on the opposite side of the road from this man who had been bludgeoned by thieves and robbers, right? But it was that Good Samaritan that stopped and lent it. I mean, but Jesus was just a radical, was he not? And so there were so many opinions and ideas. And even in our culture today, there are so many thoughts out there as to who he is. That's why I love Jesus in John chapter 14 gives us an answer as to who he is. Can I read it to you? And will you guys follow along on the screen just to make sure that I don't mess it up? I tried to pick a verse and a declaration that Jesus said that had short, small words for me to understand and read. Jesus declared who he was when he says this in John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now, let me explain to you what's happening here in John chapter 14. In John chapter 13, if you read the chapter prior to that, you're going to find that Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. They have just celebrated what we call the Last Supper, right? They've celebrated a meal together. We know that Jesus has called his disciples together. He knows that his time on earth is coming to an end. He knows that the events of his arrest and the incredible torture that he was about to endure, he knew the crucifixion and the cross. He knew that Calvary was waiting for him. They didn't. He did. Come on, how many of you know that Jesus knows some stuff? He knows some stuff. And so it's in this upper room that we find Jesus begins to, after they share a meal, we know that he washes their feet. That was a weird moment for his disciples, because that's what the servants were supposed to do. Why would our Lord and Savior, somebody just declared that about Jesus, why would he do that? Well, he's still trying to train them and teach them and show them the way. He's given them a path to follow. We know that in this time, that this when Jesus says, you know, one of you will deny me, and Peter, anybody named Peter in the house today? Anybody? Anybody? Peter makes that bold, I will never, I'll fight tooth and nail. You know, oh, Peter, you better simmer down there, young man, because you will, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me three times. Did he not? Come on, how many of you know Jesus knows some stuff? But it's in John chapter 14 that Jesus begins to explain to them, guys, I'm leaving you. What do you mean you're leaving us? I mean, we're rolling. We got some momentum. Things are good, right? Come on, Lord, I thought you were going to establish your kingdom. And Jesus begins to explain to them that he's about to go to be with his Father. And how confusing that must have been to them. How disheartening it must have been to them that their leader was about to leave them. Well, where are you going? Well, where I'm going to be with the Father, and I'm going to prepare a place. And where I go, there are many rooms, and I will come back and get you. No, we don't want you to leave, Lord. Take us with you. Oh, I will come and get you. Well, how can we know the way? And then in 14 verse 6, Jesus, this definitive statement, he's reminding them, guys, listen, for 3 years we've been together and I've shown you the way. For 3 years, you've heard me teach. You've seen how I've responded to people in crisis. You've seen my times in prayer with my Father. I have shown you the way, and I want you to continue to follow in it. Well, Tom, how can we go, Father? Jesus says, hey, I am the way. You know, a way it's a path, is it not? A way is some sort of a route. When we're on our way, we're on a course of direction that leads us somewhere. We're walking and following something, right? These disciples here in John chapter 14 are expressing tremendous confusion about knowing what the way was. Jesus was reminding them that he was that way. And I think Jesus would remind us of that today. And I hope that every one of you hear that from me. And I believe that his words of encouragement to those disciples in the upper room that night are the same words of encouragement to you and I listening today. He wants us to follow him. And if you zone out and don't hear another word I say, and you forget the scripture references that I'm about to lob out to you, because we're going to read the Bible at 1910 Church. We like it. We love it. Right. By the way, how many of you today is the end of that fast? Amen. Come on. Who wants to go to some chamagacho with the pastor after church and get our meat on? Amen. Yes. Come on, somebody. Hurt me. Keep that green symbol up the whole time. Bring that meat. Leg of lamb, prime rib, you bring it. Stay away from salad. Amen. It is meat fest. I went to Furs Cafeteria this week. It was a ministry moment for someone else that I was with, not for me. I ate salad, just so you know that. But anyway, what was I talking about? Here we go. That's one of those moments. Scripture. Oh, we love the Bible. Yeah, just if you ever get lost, just say Bible, and it's you get focused. Golly, bum, help me out here, Father. Start reading the Bible, the scripture. We're going to read the scripture today and show you Jesus. There's a lot of confusion in our culture today. And how could Jesus be so narrow-minded that he would make the statement, how arrogant of him to say that he's the only way. You see, we live in a day in a culture where people think there are so many ways to the Father, do we not? And people would make you think, oh, we don't want to offend you. And so we make all these concessions. Well, if that's what you believe, well then that must be okay. No, it's not. People are stupid in what they think sometimes. I just wish somebody would say, you're an idiot. That's not right. Just kidding. Don't do that. Jesus wouldn't do that. I mean, he would do it in a holy manner. Don't. I'm not Jesus. Don't follow my lead. Amen. Follow Jesus. But we live in a culture, do we not, where there's so many ways, and whatever you feel like it. Well, you be you. You do you, bro, and you go. But the problem is that's not Bible. Especially when it comes to this idea of how to live your life here on earth. And if you ever have any hopes, listen, here's what I want you to see. Jesus is the only path to heaven, and he is the only way to the Father. That's what I was trying to say a while ago. That's true. That's it. He is the way. You know, some people believe that all religions are basically the same, but that's simply not true. Listen, Christianity and the Jews and Muslims, they all believe in a personal God who has revealed himself to mankind. Buddhists and Hindus, though, believe that God is unknowable and he is impersonal. Listen, you can't have both. It's one or the other. For God to be personal, but yet you can't. It's not possible. So who's right? Who's wrong? Now, the thing about Christianity, and by the way, 1910 Church is a Christian church, amen? We believe in Jesus Christ as the means of salvation, and we believe that it is through him that we have life. He is the way. And that's what we're dealing with here today. But we're different. You see, all other religions basically teach this concept that you can somehow earn your salvation. Here's the thing that sets Christianity apart from all other worldviews and religions. It's really radical. It's this idea that we believe that there's a God that has reached down to save man because man could not save himself. That's it right there. That's what sets Christianity apart, Randall, is that we believe that God reached down to save mankind. Mankind cannot save itself. You know, there are so many world religions that are based on man's effort to reach God. There are some that believe your righteousness is gonna come through how many times you pray, when you pray, what direction you're facing when you pray, what position you're in when you pray, what are the prayer words that come out of your mouth. Somehow that is what earns your salvation and right standing with the God that you're praying to. Some believe that there are certain garments that you have to put on. Some believe that you must visit a shrine or a temple. Some believe that you can maybe only worship on Friday or on Saturday, on Sunday. Hey, here's the deal. I don't know about that. I'm just going to get my worship on every day just to make sure I got it covered. Amen? But in all of these efforts, the basic concept is if you do these things, somehow that will earn your salvation or your right standing with the God that you're doing these things for. There are some other extreme religions and beliefs that even call their followers to somehow inflict pain upon themselves or to offer continual sacrifices in order to appease their God. There are some extreme religions that encourage their followers to somehow inflict bodily pain with whips or rods on their back, in order to please the God, in order to earn right standing or salvation with them. That ain't us here at 1910. And because here's, listen, as good as you are, there is no way you can ever be good enough to earn salvation and forgiveness of your junk. You can't. In fact, I think that's why so many people in our culture, it's kind of like there's this scale above their head. And they're weighing their sins on one end of the scale, and then their righteousness on the other, and doing these good deeds and performing ritual and religion. And how do you know, how do I know if my sin outweighs my righteousness? Or how do I know somehow if, okay, I'm righteous or religious enough, and therefore you don't. And so many people are just left wondering. They're wondering, how can I be made right? How can I be forgiven? I'm telling you, any religious system that has to deal with what you do in order to earn right standing with that God, it is doomed for failure right from the beginning. I just want to let you know that right now. And I want to set some of you at ease today, because I know that there are some people live or watching online that have been sucked into this. That if I do enough good stuff, that's going to outweigh all my sin and my bad stuff. Or dadgummit, I am so lousy, there is no way, there is no hope for me. And the sin side is just so, so burdensome for you. I love what Isaiah said earlier about strongholds being broken. And I'm praying that for some of you in this house today. That you would not buy into this lie that it has to deal with what you do in order to earn God's love. You see, I want to read to you from the Bible. I want to share with you some things from Scripture that speak to what we believe as Christians, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. And I want to show you that listen, Scripture is quite clear that you as a sinner cannot earn salvation by anything by what you do. Amen? Let me read some Scripture to you. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As the Scriptures say, now just take my word for it. As the Scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. Romans 3 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Isaiah chapter 64, we all are infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but what? Whoa. So when I try to work harder, or when I try to display how righteous or good I am, the word of God says, man, that is nothing but filthy rags. And when you read the words that a guy by the name of Paul would write, he makes it quite clear to us that salvation is available only through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross when he died for the sins of the world. Hey, listen, you want to be made right with God? Check out what Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, there's something important in that verse that you need to see. Go back to the beginning of that verse if you can. God made Christ, who never sinned, perfect, spotless, without fault. He made him become the sacrifice, the offering for our sins. Why? So that we could be made right with God. Hey, check this out. Jesus, perfect, faultless. Became sinful. How? Why? When? In that process of dying on the cross. See, in John chapter 14, when Jesus says, I'm about to leave you and go prepare for, Jesus had done nothing wrong to deserve a rest in the garden. Jesus had done nothing wrong to deserve the flogging, the beating. In fact, did Pilate himself not try to get out of it, saying, I find no fault in this man? You remember that? Yes. He was trying to time and time again. I don't see anything wrong with this guy that deserves death. You kidding me? I find no. In that process of going to the cross and hanging there, the innocent became guilty. You know what made him guilty? Us. And our sin, and our junk, and our funk, and the things that we've done. He bore that. He took that upon himself. And then that's why Paul was trying to remind us that it was this Christ who had never sinned. He became that offering for our sin. Why would he do that? so that you and I could be made right with God. See, there's something you need to understand about this thing called Christianity. There's something that this is what we believe here at 1910 Church, that salvation for us comes only by this gift of grace that God has given us through the death of his son, Jesus, on the cross. It is not about you striving, working harder. It is not about religious ceremonies or things that you can do. It is about what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. He died for you. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done so that none of us can boast about it. Can I just share something with you today? I mean, I'm sharing lots of stuff with you. I'm going to go and say this too. No matter how good you are, no matter how religious you are, no matter what you do or what you say about God or for God, let me just tell you something. You can never be good enough or holy enough to earn your salvation. You can't. That's why Ephesians 2 says it's a gift from God. And it's not about anything that you do, because then you'd get arrogant, prideful. You're like, look how hard I've worked. Look how smart I am. Look how many times I've gone. Look at all this money I've given. Come on, look how nice I look. This is an awful shirt, by the way. It's disgusting. It looks like, yeah. I'm in church. I can't tell you what it looks like. But anyway, it's not about you doing anything. Actually, it is. I set you up. It is about you doing something. It's about you looking at the cross that Christ died on and believing that he is who he says he is and receiving him by faith. You do need to do something. Scripture says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be. So you know what? You got to do something. You need to call upon the name of Jesus. But this striving to be righteous enough, holy enough, you ain't ever going to get there. You're not. But you do need to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. This plan of salvation is not based on man's efforts, but it's based on this gift of grace and love demonstrated by Jesus. You know what John 3:16 says? It says something like this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. God loved the world. Check this out. Did you hear that? God's not mad. He's not bringing condemnation. Come on, these bad things happening, that's not from a loving God. That goes against his nature. He can't be both good and bad. He's not hokey pokey. He's in and out, good and bad. For God so loved the world. He loved you. When you were sinful and hurtful and ugly to him, he loved you. And he sent his only son, the scripture says, to die in your place, to be the sacrifice for what you deserve. Pilate says, man, I can't find anything wrong with this guy. Come on, you know what? He would have found something wrong with you and me. But yet, the only way that you and I could be made right with God was not through righteous deeds. And it was through the death of Jesus. That's what makes you right. All you have to do is to believe and receive what Jesus has done to bring salvation to the world. Listen, Jesus is the way. It is not through what you do. It's not through prayer crawling and trying to earn enough righteous points. It's not through flogging or beating yourself or sacrifice. It is through, he is the way. What is he the way to? Well, he's the way to the Father. As he said, no one can come to the Father except through. Let me just make it simple. You want to go to heaven? It's based on what you do with Jesus. You can't get there without him. Can't. Is that simple? Makes it. I'm going to sugarcoat it and use big church. Listen, you want to go to heaven? Say yes to Jesus. Jesus is not only the way to the Father, but I tell you this, he's the way to live your life too. See, a lot of us want heaven. Dadgum, you're right, I want to go to heaven. Well, can I just tell you something? There's a lot that Jesus wants to do in your life for the 74, 6, whatever you're going to live here on earth. This morning in the first service, we got to pray and dedicate some incredible kids to the Father. And I prayed this, Lord, I don't know what you have in store for these kids, but I do know that you've got a great plan for them. Little 3-month-old Iris, cute. Oh my gosh, little Latina with that hair sticking up and got that bow on it. I know that God's got big plans for her. Little Cole was up here and he had his hair combed over, slicked over to the side. His sister said, I fixed his hair today. I said, you did good, mama. You did good. Even that little man, you know what? I don't know what is in store for his life, but I know that God's got a great plan for it. You see, here's the deal. Heaven's not just what we're longing for. I want to live the life that I was created to live here on earth. Don't you? That's what Jesus wants to give you. He don't want you just to sit around and say yes to Jesus and I want to wait till I die for heaven. No. And there is so much. I have come that you might have life, Jesus says. That's right. Abundant. Free. Come on. Jesus is the way. He's the way to the Father. He's the way to live life. He is the way to salvation. And check this out. Jesus lived on earth to show us that way. And by the way, let me just say something to those of you that have said yes to Jesus. Start following in his footsteps. Live like Jesus lived. He didn't just do that for 3 years and then for us to forget about it. No, he wants us, as he told these disciples in John 14, I want you to continue to follow this way that I've shown you. I'm washing feet. I'm washing your feet because I want you to go and do the same, guys. It's not because I'm bored and trying to fill up time before I get arrested. No, I'm trying to show you how to live. Hey, Christian, start living like Jesus. I've said this before, and this is where I'm going to get in trouble. Get ready for the hate mail, Wes. If you call yourself a Christian, start acting like one. But if you're going to call yourself a Christian and not act like one, don't call yourself a Christian because you're just screwing it up for the rest of us. You are. And people look at you and they say, that guy's a Christian. And then they look at me and say, you must just be like so-and-so. I ain't. I want to be like Jesus. I'm not. I want to be like Jesus. I want to follow in his steps. You know, it's interesting to me that in Acts, when you don't find the early church, the early believers, do you know what they were called? Followers of the way. That's what they were called. When Saul was on the road to take care to Damascus to take care of this uprising, he said, I'm going to go put an end to the people of the way. What way are they talking about? Jesus. You see, the early church had no problem in saying, Jesus is Lord. Who do you say Jesus is? How would you answer that question in Matthew 16? Who do people say I am? Listen, Jesus is either Lord or he's not. And you've got to answer that question. And I'm not trying to scare you, but I just want you to know something. The answer to that question has eternal significance. He's either Lord or he's not. You can't have it both ways. Do you believe that Jesus is the way? Would you stand with me today? And I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And even those of you that are watching us online, don't zone out on me yet, because this is the moment. Ministry team, make yourselves available down front today, because I believe that the Spirit of God is alive and he's moving in this house. And I want you to know something right now. For some of you right now, there's a struggle going on within you, because you want to believe and you want to receive, but there's something keeping you from that. There's a war happening. The enemy hates what's happening right now. But I want to encourage you to do something. Release yourself and say yes to Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit of God do in you right now what he's doing. Obey that. Say yes to him. You've got to make that decision on who Jesus is. Is he the Son of God? Is he Lord? Is he the only way to the Father? You've got to determine that. And your answer to that question carries incredible significance. I believe it determines your time on earth, what that looks like, and how you live. And it also will carry eternal ramifications. Who is Jesus? I pray today that you've come to the understanding that he is the way. He's the way to the Father. He's the way to life. He's the way to salvation. So Father, I'm praying right now for everyone in this room. I pray for that person especially that is wrestling right now. I pray that they would release the death grip on that chair and that they would come to the front at this moment and share with one of my friends down front, hey, I need Jesus to come into my life. Your word says, Father, that for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Your word says, Father, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, your word says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things pass away and all things become new. I'm praying for that person right now that needs to move to receive this new life that you have. You are the way. You are the way. Holy Spirit, do what you do. Father, as we leave this place today, I pray that we would, those who us believe that you are the way, that we would talk about it this week. That we'd pray for people who've yet to receive you, that we would share the story of the difference you've made in our life. And God, I pray that we would live as followers of the way. May there be a noticeable difference in us this week, Jesus. The difference you've made in us. We're not trying to earn your love or earn more points in heaven. No, no, no. We've got everything we need through your shed blood. And we're going to live in freedom this week. We're going to live with boldness and confidence, knowing that you are the way. It's in the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.